Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
Good morning, Crane. How are you?
Hey, David. How you doing?
Doing well. Thank you for joining us. We don't have a ton of time and we have a lot to cover, so let's get right to it. Appreciate your time this morning. I think it's a great to touch base with you heading in to the winter meetings, which start tomorrow in Orlando. And among the questions and topics, Crane, will be the Cubs offseason spending plan. There have been reports out there since the end of the season that we just heard Pat Hughes call, or the wild card series and the playoff series after that against the Brewers, that the Cubs have the third highest revenue in Major League Baseball and yet the 14th highest payroll. And that disparity has been used against the Cubs by national baseball reporters who are well-respected and whose opinion means something as a suggestion that the Cubs are unwilling to recommit the dollars that they earn into the ball club. Have you noticed those reports? What has been your reaction, and how would you explain them?
Well, thanks for starting off with a softball. Appreciate that. let me just say it's really hard to compare one team to another. I mean, I'll get into it as much as you want, but I don't pay a lot of attention to it. There are so many factors, even within the same market, that are different. Let's just start. So the revenue line that I see used most often is pre-revenue sharing. So I you guys know how revenue sharing works, but not everybody does. So every team gives about 48% of their revenue to the league, large markets and small. And then the league returns to each of the 30 teams an equal amount. So if you're a large market, you obviously get back less than you put in, and you are a net payor. If you're a small market, you get back a lot more than you put in, and you're a net payee. And we're one of the largest payors in baseball. So when you see the gross revenue line, that's before revenue sharing. And then, like, even within a market, things are different based on how you own your ballpark. So we're one of five teams that own their stadium. So we wouldn't trade for anything, you know, the honor of owning Wrigley Field, but with it comes the obligation to maintain it. Another example on the White Sox, you know, they rent their ballpark and the landlord pays the majority of CapEx. So these are huge numbers. So put it this way, our CapEx for 26 will be more than our highest paid player. So again, wouldn't trade anything for the privilege of running Wrigley Field, but what we have to do to maintain our facility versus being in a rented facility is a substantial sum of money. The same thing's true with property taxes. So if you own your stadium, you get the honor of paying property taxes. If you're in a leased ballpark like the White Sox, you don't. And that's also a huge number. And then there's amusement taxes differ from market to market. So Chicago pays the highest amusement taxes in the country, as you know, surprise the way our taxes work here, at 12%. And we paid the most amusement taxes of all teams in baseball last year. LA, Boston, San Francisco, all those markets, 0% amusement or sales tax on their tickets. So, like, I'm not saying one is right, one is wrong. I'm just saying when you look at gross revenue numbers before revenue sharing, before CapEx, before property taxes, before amusement, but all that, you're not really seeing a real picture about what's available to put into your baseball budget. I've seen them. You know, it would be like me saying, hey, David, what was your gross income? And then what's your biggest expense? Let's call it your mortgage. Mm-hmm. Boy, you're really rich. Mm-hmm. And you're going to say, yeah, but you've ignored all of my other expenses and my taxes. You know, it's fodder. It's interesting to talk about, but it's, you know, wildly inaccurate. So we don't spend a ton of time looking at it.
Crane, the baseball department has developed an excellent farm system, made great trades to help augment the fact that you don't necessarily have to have a $350 million payroll to win. Should the Cubs have to listen to that on the outside, knowing that you won 90-plus games for the first time since 2018 and the arrow is pointing up? How do you and Mr. Ricketts and Jed and the front office look at that?
This is a Jed question more than a Crane question. We leave to Jed and Carter and team the decision making on how we use our, we'll call it a farm system, as one of the forms of currency to build a club. You know, there's, you know, multiple parts to it. I think we've got a really good farm system. Obviously you're seeing the benefits of that, at third base and center field, in the pitching staff. Super excited about next year. Obviously, we had a good season in 25. That builds momentum going into 26. We've had a really good start to the offseason in terms of our season ticket renewals. So a lot of optimism around the revenue generation, which informs what we'll spend on the baseball side. Because we do, you know, we're fortunate to have an owner that lets us put every available dollar back into the baseball operation. So that's all real positive. But as to the farm system and its use and its growth, you know, I think that's, save that one for Orlando. You can hit Jed on that.
We're joined by Cubs President of Business Operations, Crane Kenny, here on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. And Crane, we do appreciate you joining us for a conversation more than interrogation. I hope it doesn't sound that way, but this is a great opportunity, I believe, for the Cubs to explain what the offseason plan might be in terms of, you look at the postseason and there were five extra home games and then that increased revenue. Does that affect the approach this offseason? And how does the ownership and front office view the success of last year, getting close but not quite getting over the top? So generally speaking, how would you explain the way that the last year's postseason affects this year's offseason?
Yeah, so I kind of started there. Obviously, hugely positive. We were really fortunate that in some ways, being the first wild card, you get three home games, which is really, really valuable, both financially and for our fans. And, you know, we had a great series with the Padres, went the full three games, won the series. If you guys were in the park, I know Bruce was because he was working. Enormous energy, kind of back to the 16-17 year energy level in the ballpark, and then a really good series with the Brewers that went all five games. Yeah, that's, you know, you're asking the question of, does that help build a plan for next year? And it does. I'm a broken record on this. I don't know how many years, Bruce, you've asked the question, or David, you've asked the question, and I've answered it the same way for, I don't know, at least a dozen years. But our budget process is really simple, boring and simple, which is we project to the best of our abilities all of our revenues from ticket sales and concessions and clubs and suites and concerts and special events like the Savannah Bananas coming this year. So we look at all forms of income. We project to the best of our forecasting ability what will happen. And we take into effect issues like, we play five home games in March next year. It's a rough start to the season, given the weather in Chicago. So we look at the schedule, we look at opponents, we look at when we play them, what time of year, what day of the week. We project our revenues as best we can. And then we plug in our fixed numbers, like radio and television are fixed numbers, so are our corporate partnerships. So we plug in the fixed numbers. And then we reduce it by revenue sharing, and then we project all of our costs, which, you know, are everything from, as I mentioned earlier, you know, maintaining and operating Wrigley Field and Sloan Park and the academy and salaries for our baseball and business teams and basically all of our non-player expenses, CapEx, property taxes and the like. And the remainder becomes our baseball budget. So it's like simple formula. When you have a good postseason, when you have a good season ticket renewal number like we have, great thanks to our fans, yeah, you get more bullish on putting money into the baseball budget because you believe it'll be there at the end of the day. So long answer to a short question, which is, yeah, the postseason's really good for projecting the following year.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different, good different. Try something that feels like you, you know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
Well, it sounds like an interrogation rather than an interview at this point, but we do have to ask you about Marquee and the future of that network that you have partnership with Sinclair, and what's going on there, the future, how you interpret it for the Cubs and the fans.
Yeah, you know, and you're part of the network, so you know all this, but it's worthy of spending a few minutes. Yeah, we made some changes this week. It's a really quickly changing environment in the media and the way people consume it. You know, Bruce, you and I go back to rabbit ears. Probably David's too young for that. When we were getting our television over the air and trying to, you know, move the rabbit ears around to try and get the channel you want. And then we had cable, at least in my house, with one of those old clunky push-button consoles in the 80s, and then the satellite dishes. But now we're on to streaming. And so, again, the way people consume media has changed. And, you know, we at the Cubs have been following that trend. We were first on over-the-air television with WGN, which is fabulous. Then we started Fox Sports Chicago in 99. We converted to Comcast in 04, and then in Marquee in 2019. So we've been kind of migrating with the viewer habits from over the air on GN all the way now to streaming. And so the industry's pivoting. Like, you're seeing this all over, not just in Chicago, although Chicago's a pretty good microcosm of what's going on. You had 12 teams had their RSNs go bankrupt in the last 2 years. Five have given their rights back to Major League Baseball. Some of them have gone back to over the air. Like, some have gone back to the the old days, including the White Sox. You know, they tried their digital antenna strategy over the air about 18 months ago, and then they went back to cable this summer. So they've made two quick pivots, and everyone's navigating this different changing environment. So we were told that last summer that we were going to go to the ultimate tier on Comcast, and that led off a three-month analysis of how we should move forward. The first and easiest decision was to recommit our games to our game broadcast. So Cole Wright's contract was up. We renewed Cole. JD and Boog and Taylor and Elise, they're all under contract, so that wasn't going to change. We kept our production team intact. So from a game watching perspective, which I think most of our fans care most about, you know, not a lot is changing next year. We're going to introduce some new technology, but we're just, you know, committed to over-serving on the game broadcast. On the business side, we made the decision to flip our local sales group into a partnership with Playfly. So that was announced last week. We're retooling some distribution plans, and we'll announce some new distribution agreements soon. We did have to make some tough calls on the digital content side as we're looking at a new model there, but we had to say goodbye to some really solid contributors, and that was really tough. And then as part of the whole repositioning, our GM, Diane Penny, decided to leave. She did a great job for us on our digital platform. Our streaming app grew 3X in her 2 years with us. We had 85% year-over-year growth in the way people bought, you know, Marquee Stream. And she retooled the digital selling team. So she did a super job for it, but her contract was up in December. And as we talked about outsourcing sales and distribution, she wanted to kind of look for her next challenge, and she's already found it. So she joined NBC. She'll be working the Olympics in Milan. We wish Diane well. So she's off on a new start. But, you know, so the network is moving, just like you're seeing at the, on the other side of town. And I think it'll continue to you'll continue to see changes there. But I think for your listeners, what they care about is, hey, when I turn on Marquee, am I going to see the same quality production pre, post, and game? And the answer is yes there.
Crane, before we let you go, and really appreciate your time this morning. So you look at big picture, you've got the Cubs organization. There's a new pitch hit lab in Mesa. That's a great development. You're preparing for the All-Star game at Wrigley in 2027. People are looking forward to that. The Cub convention is probably going to be sold out again like it is every single year. I guess I'm curious, though, from your vantage point, organizationally, what's the sense of urgency? Because the Cubs were close. And fans who are listening to this program and fans who pay what they do to go to Wrigley Field as much as they can every given season, they want to know, what is the organizational urgency to get to the World Series and win it again? It'll be 10 years already that will be celebrated this season, the anniversary of the 2016 team. How would you describe that sense of urgency?
Yeah, I think the postseason is just, like last year, yes, it was really fun and rewarding to see the ballpark come to life in October. But when it ends and you have to watch, especially the Brewers, continue playing, there was a ton of bitterness in our building the day after. Their use of the L flag in their celebration didn't feel great. It's just words so people don't have to, and probably discount it as soon as they come out of my mouth. But like the sense of urgency is high. We got a collective bargain agreement ending at the end of this season. And you point out 10 years is a long time since 2016. And for me, 23 years, you know, if you believe every 30 years at a minimum, you should be winning a World Series. You know, I'm going into 24 and we only won one. So, I can just tell you that the urgency is incredibly high, and we have a team that can do it. I mean, you need to be honest with yourself. In 2011 and 2012, you know, we were in a different mode, and while the aspirations were always high and hopeful, you know, reality was pretty easy to see. This is a team that can win. You know, you look at what happened last year with our young players. We really haven't talked about Cade Horton and Matt Shaw and the young players that have played so well for us. This is that kind of team where young players can step forward. We got, you know, no one talks about Michael Bush. He's like a quiet superstar at first base. This is a really good team. We're going to invest behind it. And no, urgency is very high at Wrigley Field.
Before we let you go, Crane, the 10-year celebration at the Cub Convention of the World Champions, I'm hearing 20 players or a combination of players, coaches, manager coming back to celebrate that. Tell us a little about that, and also the 150-year anniversary of the Chicago Cubs coming up this year.
Yeah, we got a doubleheader next year. 10th anniversary of our 2016 team. We've got a lot planned for that. More of that will be spelled out at the convention. We expect to see a ton of players back. Already hearing from a lot of them on what they want to do while they're here. So it's going to be a ton of fun. And then the second half of the doubleheader is it's the 150th anniversary of the Cubs as an NL team. So the team started in 1876 in the National League, one of only two teams that remain in their home city. So it's a big deal. I think if it weren't for the 10th anniversary, it would probably dominate the whole calendar. I think we'll put a little more emphasis behind the 10th anniversary, but we're also going to celebrate, you know, the beauty of playing in one place for 150 years and playing in a wonderful ballpark for 110 years in a city that loves this club so much. So a lot of plans to celebrate that. You know, I think you'll hear a lot from our friend Ed Hardig, who's our team historian, about what life was like in 1876 and all the evolution that has happened since for this magical ball club.
That was a tough team for me to cover, believe me.
I was going to say, you were at our Hall of Fame. You know, we haven't talked about that either, but the Hall of Fame balloting is underway. Bruce is one of our panelists, and that'll be announced at the Cubs convention. But yeah, the running joke every time we talk about a player from the golden era is we ask Bruce how he played in the 1920s and 30s.
Crane, thank you so much for your time this morning.
All right, great. Have a nice holidays, guys.
You too.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Studies show that 100% of everybody in the world wants to curl up indoors and do nothing because it's so darn cold out there. That's why many people are turning to Bombas, whose pillowy plush slippers and warm merino wool socks have been said to be the most comfortable in the history of feet. Bombas products have been found to boost coziness by up to 1,000,000%. Okay, enough fake statistics, but could Bombas socks and slippers really be the cure? Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.